Chapter 41. Darrow. To the stars. I wake on the day of departure feeling like a mummy rising from its sarcophagus. Quick said pain was to be expected, but I didn't expect to feel arthritic after the light wave treatment. He said it would help with my mobility. To get the dust out of the joints and the blood flowing, I perform my morning stretches to the rhythmic sounds from the choral aquarium outside my room's only window. Past the pain of each initial movement lies a pleasant surprise. Greater flexibility than I've had in years. I jump and touch the ceiling with ease. Damn, but I will miss Quick in more ways than one. After a shower and a cup of caff, I stride with fresh legs past the sweets given to Cassius and Ori to enter Severo's. Stony-faced, he'd said farewell the night before, but I hoped that he'd change his mind, that I'd wake to see him snoring in his bed. He did not change his mind, it seems. The bed is freshly made, and when I arrive at the hangar, I see the ship Quick provided to ferry him and Lyria home with my message for Virginia is already gone. Wounded and wary of the wound, I seek distraction. To the sounds of loaders hauling pallets of grav bikes and equipment into the cargo bay, I inspect the Archimedes' refurbished stealth hull, until Cassius, then Quick, join me in the hangar. "Factory repaired and sleek as a leviathan's hide," Cassius says with a whistle, as he runs a hand along the fresh stealth material that coats the hull. "My compliments to your techs soon, even if their brains are all silicon." Cassius glances in suspicion at the construction drones. "The material is the last generation of its line," Quick says. "Its cloaking capabilities are superior to that of the generation Kavix gave you for Mercury. However, it is more fragile against kinetic impacts. As usual, it only works with your shield off. So do steer clear of pirates and moonies, Bellona. What about Scylla and Leviathans?" Cassius asks. "Whatever are you prattling on about sea beasts for?" Quick asks. "Well, knowing Darrow, we'll crash on Europa and I'll have to fend off those beasties with an oar," Cassius says. "I must confess I think you are a coward, Soon, fleeing the fray at a time like this. But your station is the most ludicrous venture I've ever heard tell. Congratulations on the audacity, if nothing else." He extends a hand to Quicksilver. "Prime luck out there beyond the system, Soon. If you find a planet of guileless nymphs, do send word." Quick looks at his hand in contempt. "Your father was a decent man, despite his eyes. Your mother wasn't and isn't. As for you, you might be decent, but the man you killed like cattle 12 years ago was a titan. While you frittered away the spring of your life, he suffered, he struggled, only to be struck down by you. Fitchner was my friend. I'm happy you found a chord with Severo, but no, hospitality is one thing, but I will never shake your hand, Peerless. If you were worth anything, Loon wouldn't be leading a gold armada, would he?" Cassius weathers all the insults but the last one with aplomb. The last is a knife to his gut. I showed him the Lightbringer trundling after the rim. He fears a confrontation, I think. "Per aspera ad astra, Goodman." He bows with perfect manners and excuses himself. I linger with Quick. Cassius is...
"I don't care. Do you think he knows you plan to kill Lysander?"
"Do I?" I ask. He chuckles.
"Of course you do. You know where he's going. If the opportunity presents itself, how could you not? He's the link between the rim and core. He dies..."
He makes scissors with his fingers.
"What a way to use your new navy. If it exists. Maybe you do know war," I say with a grim smile. "Will he be able to do it?"
Quick wonders.
10 years with someone, that's a long time. Can you take another brother from that man? Would he let you?"
I don't answer, because I've worried enough about that question myself. quick gestures to a black crate as it enters the Archimedes.
We took everyone's measurements while you were sleeping. You have the new pulse armor you requested. My last line. 10 kits. I know you run through them, though you'll be hard-pressed with this model.
I turn in interest. Manuals included?
Have I ever not? I will miss your presence. You'll adore this last. Model's called Godkiller Mark I. He winks. Just don't use it on me. Jove, don't smile like that. It's disturbing. Sorry, I mutter. Gear, you know.
His eyes brighten at the sight of Mateo entering the hangar with Ori, hand in hand.
Well, they're a pair.
He's very right. By themselves, each of the pinks is enough to take the breath out of a room. They laugh like two long-lost friends, heading out of the theatre, talking about everything and nothing. Quicksilver reaches for Ori's hand when they arrive, but it's his turn to be slighted. With a kiss for Mateo on the cheek, she walks past Quick and carries on into our ship, like she doesn't even notice the wealthiest man alive.
She's very political, Mateo says with a smirk.
Quick sighs. Fair enough. At least my final rebuke was from a beauty and not a bologna.
He smiles at me as the drone trailing behind Mateo brings the helmet I saw on his wall. He picks it up and grunts at the weight. I take it from him with one hand. The helmet is the same shape as the starburst helm Fichtner wore as Ares, but it is pure black.
This was the first helmet I made for Fichtner, he says. And the best. But he only used it a couple of times. Thought it looked too expensive and would tip the gulls off that he had a backer. He's not wrong. I did get carried away. It's made of onyxium and is compatible with most suits. One of my best artificers worked on it.
Does it have a name? I ask.
The Twilight Helm, Quicksilver declares. Never one for understatement, is he?
I say to Mateo.
Well, this name's very literal, Quick says. Put on the helmet and say, I am Ares.
I hesitate. It seems wrong, like I've stolen a legacy.
Go on, it's charged.
Not yet, I say. If Athena thinks I should, I will, but not yet.
I understand. I miss Fichtner too.
He looks a little disappointed.
Well then, I guess this is farewell. I don't know what there is left to say.
You could say you changed your mind, that you think it's not too late for our republic, I reply.
If only I agreed.
He sticks out his hand. I take it gently in mine. His eyes drift to his ring on my pinky. He struggles to let go, but eventually he does.
It is in your hands now. I know what you think, but I am an old coward. Prove me wrong. I will, if you prove me right.
Rolling his eyes, Quicksilver turns, squeezes Mateo's shoulder, and walks away without looking back. Mateo watches after him before looking up at me.
I'm sorry I could do no more to help. It's not that I don't agree with you, but Regulus and this station, well, I can do more here, perhaps, in the end.
I set a hand on his chest, over his heart.
You've always been strong because you are gentle, I say. Thank you for everything.
He folds both of his hands over mine.
It is a noble thing to keep the beasts from the door. Whatever people say, they could not say it if you didn't.
He goes to his tiptoes, but still I have to bend for him to kiss my cheeks.
For Pax, for Virginia.
He kisses my forehead. For you. He kisses my nose and smirks. For Severo.
Severo? Well, he'd bite me.
His eyes dance toward the hangar entrance. A mound of heavy weaponry wobbles toward us. Underneath it is Sevro. His long hair is gone. The sides of his head gleam from a fresh shave. He's kept only a short spine of hair down the center of his head. His war hawk is back. His face is terrible and focused.
There's already weapons on the ship, I note as he trudges past.
He doesn't say anything and just goes up the ramp and into the ship. After a final embrace with Mateo, I follow with the helmet and seal the hatch. I find Sevro dumping his gear in front of a floor rack stocked with 6 new grav bikes.
Your jazz. Catch.
I toss him the helmet, and he lets it hit the floor with a thunk.
Right. You see the new pulse armor?
I ask, trying to get him excited about anything. It's already loaded in newly installed wall racks. I whistle as I approach it.
Slimmer than the models we used to fall on Mercury. These are built for speed. Double-joined cooter, reinforced breastplate, nano-helm, adaptive camouflage skin, and he tripled the generator output capacity.
I lick the shoulder of one to test the flavor.
Pauline fiber woven in. Godkiller's right.
I turn to see him still sorting his gear.
So you're coming, then, I say. And you got your warhawk back. Why the change of heart?
He doesn't look up.
Can't go back yet.
He sounds fatalistic. Scary.
Sevro, drop it. I'm here. Let's fly.
I pick up the helmet from the floor.
For what it's worth, I'm glad you're coming.
He says nothing. I let him alone and head for the cockpit as the Archimedes lifts off to leave Quicksilver's new world behind.